Due to a technical error, we'll be repeating last week's program of Alive. But Claire will be back with you again next Thursday. Our apologies, and we hope you enjoy the repeat show.
The road is long.
A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right. You it will never approach. His faithfulness is buckler and shield. Your eyes have only to look to see how the wicked are repaid. You will have said, Lord, my refuge, and have made the Most High your dwelling. Upon you no evil shall fall, no plague approach where you dwell. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you once again for joining the program. Over the last couple of months, we have been concentrating on Fatima, the message from Our Lady, because, of course, this is the 100th anniversary of Fatima, of the apparitions, and it's a very, very important message. In fact, it's the most important message the last 100 years, but also I think when you think that Our Lady's apparition at Fatima in Portugal in 1917 was accompanied by that great solar miracle where 70,000 people and another 30,000 in outlying areas actually saw the sun spin, radiating all the colours of the rainbow. Everyone was covered in different colours of light. The ground was covered in light, and it just spun at times. And then suddenly the sun seemed to detach from the firmament and zigzagged all the way, and this red fiery ball was plunging to the earth, and everyone thought that they were going to die. And they were screaming out and their prayers, and there were a lot of people there who were not Catholics, and there were free thinkers and Freemasons, atheists, skeptics, and they'd really gone along to mock. And there were many conversions that day. One of them was the editor of O Século, which was the main newspaper in Lisbon, and he came mainly just to document it, and he was converted. So when you think that that was the greatest miracle, really, since our Lord's resurrection, the message of Fatima is pivotal to our times. And the main part of the message of Fatima is to say or pray the rosary, the Holy Rosary, every day. Now, last week I went a little bit more about the interview in 1957 where the sole surviving seer, Sister Lucia, spoke to Father Fuentes and asked him, Father, how long is it until 1960? Our Lady is very sad because no one is listening to her message. Neither the good, they go on with their own thing, and the bad just take no notice of it. And she said that a chastisement was imminent and that the devil was in a mood for a final battle with God, and we would have to take sides. Either we would be for good, for God, or for the devil. And Sister Lucy said her mission was to warn people that if they persisted in their sins, they would lose their soul. Now, there was a lot more to that message, and I will say a little bit more about it later. But we finished last week's program talking about the incredible feat of what happened in Austria. So I'm just going to go over that one again in case you didn't hear it. So this is what happens when people pray the rosary. So in Austria in 1945, after World War II, Austria was actually occupied by four nations: Russia, Britain, France, and the US. Now, post-war conditions, as you can imagine, in Austria were very fraught. Food was very scarce, and the industries, especially in the mineral-rich area occupied by the Russians, were not being managed very well. The Austrian people desperately wanted to regain their independence, but how could a small country like Austria expel a communist nation the size of Russia? A Father Petrus Pavlicic, a Capuchin priest, decided to visit Mariazell, which is the main Marian shrine in Austria, to seek Our Lady's counsel. It was the 2nd of February, which is the Feast of Our Lady of Lights, but it was also the Feast of Purification. As he prayed, Father Petrus heard an inner voice say, "Do as I say and you will have peace." At that moment, Father remembered Lepanto and how the Rosary Crusade helped Christendom defeat the greatest enemy it had ever faced. So in September 1948, Father Petrus began the Crusade of Reparation of the Holy Rosary through the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima. The crusade had three aims: the conversion of sinners, peace in the world, and freedom for Austria. The Bishop of Leiria, Portugal, helped Father Petrus secure a pilgrim statue of Our Lady of Fatima by the very same artist who made the original pilgrim statue. Father Petrus' intention was to storm heaven as soldiers storm a fort, with Holy Mass and rosary processions a central part of his plan. Father Petrus was also deeply concerned about souls and spent literally days at a time in the confessional. Perhaps the most impressive part of Father's plan was to get cent of Austrians to pledge to pray the Holy Rosary each day. After a fairly slow start, more and more people joined in. Even the Prime Minister, Leopold Fitchel, and members of his cabinet joined. The rosary processions, which were held each month on the 13th, became so big it was decided to hold an annual one in Vienna on the 12th of September to commemorate the city's famous victory over the Turks in 1682. The Prime Minister always led the annual procession. Now, there had been protracted peace negotiations, which included 260 meetings in London between the four occupying nations and a representative from Austria, but they never made much progress. However, Our Lady is a faithful mother, and Father Petrus did get his 10% of Austrians. 700,000 Austrians pledged to pray the rosary every day. And on the 13th of May, 1955, that 13th of May, very important day, the four occupying countries finally agreed to withdraw from Austria, and the agreement was signed 2 days later. The last communist soldier left Austria on the 26th of October 1955 without a single shot being fired. Austria had achieved the unthinkable. Now, when you consider that this was during the Cold War, when Russian aggression and religious persecution were at their highest, it is even more miraculous and confirms it could never have happened without the intercession from Our Lady and Our Lord. Exactly 1 year later, on the 13th of May, 1956, Austria held its first independent elections. So, pretty incredible things. Now, before we go on, I'd just like to relay what the late, or a colleague of the late Father Armuth, who was the chief exorcist in Rome, and he overheard the devil in one of his exorcism. "Hail Mary is like a blow to my head." If Christians knew how powerful the rosary was, it would be my end. So just imagine, that's the devil admitting. Also, the devil hates three things. He hates the word Jesus, he hates the name of Mary, and he also hates the scapular, because he knows that when people wear the scapular, which is Our Lady's uniform, it's that little brown cord around our neck, which has to be first enrolled at the Carmelites, and that is a very, very powerful sign against the devil. Anyway, so I'm just going to give a few more examples about the power of the rosary. Now, remember I said at the end last week in 1945 also, we had on the 6th of August, a nuclear bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. Eight Jesuit priests lived 1 mile from the epicenter of the bomb blast, but miraculously they survived, while all of those around them were killed. Now, the men were examined by 200 scientists and doctors. Why did they survive? They replied, because they were living the message of Fatima. We prayed the rosary every day. Now, another great promoter of the rosary was Father Patrick Peyton, the Irish priest, and he coined that phrase, you'll all have heard it, the family that prays together stays together. How true is that? Father Peyton was born in County Mayo, Ireland, in 1909. And in 1938, he was desperately ill with TB. And at his sister's urging, he consecrated himself totally to Our Lady and devoted himself to praying the rosary. Miraculously, he was healed. And he was ordained in 1941 and spent the rest of his life promoting the rosary. Between the 1950s and 1960s, during his life, a total of 30 million, now get that number, 30 million people came to his rosary rallies. 2 million alone at one time in Manila. So several times during the 1950s also, over 1 million people attended his rallies. So that was prior to Vatican II, and people really were praying the rosary, but there seems to be a falling off that devotion after Vatican II. But it is seen a resurgence, and we really need to do more. Now, I have actually set up my own website to promote the rosary and to promote Fatima. So if you want to check it out, I was very fortunate that web designer Dan Lynn followed my instructions perfectly, and he's created the most beautiful website. So do check it out. www.fatimarosarypledge.com. Really is beautiful. Okay, in 1962 to 1964 in Brazil. Now, during this period, Brazil nearly fell under the yoke of communism when the universities were awash with communist propaganda. And strikes were common, causing widespread unrest and anarchy. Now, a woman called Dona Emília Bastos decided the future of the country was too important to leave just to the men. So she established the Campaign of Women for Democracy. And with the help of Archbishop Câmara, Dona recruited women to pray the rosary. Now, in one particular time, for 3 hours, 600,000 women gathered in the streets of São Paulo praying the rosary and pleading with the Immaculate Heart of Mary to save Brazil. On April the 1st, 1964, the communist government was defeated with not one life being lost, and shortly after, the president fled the country. That's another example, as in Austria, communists left. Now, in 1975, back in Portugal, Portugal was once more in danger of being taken over by the communists. The people again prayed the rosary with even more fervour than ever, and the country was saved. Now, this is a very interesting example of what the power of the rosary is. In 1978 in Florida, Now, Ted Bundy, if you're over 40 or 50, you'll certainly know that name. He was a mass murderer, and he had murdered anywhere between 30 to 35 and possibly even as many as 50 women in the US. No one really knows for sure. Many of his victims were university students from Florida. On one particular evening, Bundy entered a student dorm and killed every woman there except for one. Now, while on death row, Bundy admitted to a priest that when he entered that particular student's room, he intended to kill her. However, as he entered the room, he noticed she was clutching a rosary. The young woman's grandmother had given it to her for protection and told her to pray the rosary every night, even if she fell asleep while praying. As soon as Bundy saw the rosary, he dropped his weapon and fled. He told the priest some mysterious force protected the young woman and prevented him from entering the room and murdering her. Now, Bundy also had a meeting on death row with Dr. James Dobson, because he wanted to warn the world against pornography. I'm just going to throw it in here, because we know the danger of pornography. I mean, I just heard the other day that the police have said children as young as six, they're so tech savvy these days, that they are posting naked photographs of themselves online. Six. Now, where do they get these ideas from? Well, the internet, of course. So he said to Dr. Dobson that he had been raised in a Christian home, but around the age of 12 or 13, he discovered a pile of Playboy magazines at the back of his house or in the rubbish dump or something. And so from there, he got absolutely addicted to these magazines. And then that didn't seem to be enough, and he started acting out his fantasies, and then he eventually murdered. Now, I'm not saying that every person that looks at pornography is going to end up a murderer, but it certainly is very harmful both to the person and to the victim. Now, I'd also like to just mention one thing here about Mother Angelica. This is a rather humorous story. A Protestant minister phoned Mother Angelica and wanted to know what those 53 prayers were that Mother and her nuns said each night on EWTN. This is the TV station that Mother founded. Mother explained it was the Holy Rosary. A little while later, the minister rang to say that all of his congregation were now praying the Rosary. Sometime later, he rang Mother again to tell her that his whole congregation had become Catholic. So that's the power of the rosary. Now, we've just gone past 3 o'clock. It's Divine Mercy time. This is a very, very special prayer which was given to Saint Faustina by our Lord. And it's particularly powerful for people who obviously need mercy, and particularly on their deathbed. So if you happen to be around a person who is dying, make sure you pray the Divine Mercy with them. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed woman, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, an atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Now, these are some of the things that our Lord said to Saint for this very powerful prayer. Say unceasingly the chaplet that I have taught you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation. Even if there were a sinner most hardened, if he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive special grace for my infinite mercy. The souls that will say this chaplet will be embraced by my mercy during their lifetime and especially at the hour of their death. At the hour of their death, I will defend as my own glory every soul that will say this chaplet. And when others say it for a dying person, the indulgence is the same. Encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given you. When they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Saviour. Through the chaplet you will obtain everything, if what you ask is for compatible with my will. All right, I would also just like to say, of course we are a pro-life site here, our program, and if anyone is pregnant and they are worried, there is a fantastic organization in Auckland called Family Life International, which you can call, and there will be a very considerate ear on the end of the phone. So the number is 0800 for life. So 0800 for life, Family Life International. So they can help you with all sorts of things, not just with counselling, but with practical help too. For example, once the baby is born, you've got all sorts of things, you know, a buggy, pram, cot, clothes, the most beautiful knitting, blankets, even nappies, a very, very practical help. So if you are pregnant and you are worried, please call 0800 for life. Now, if you want to, you can join. There is a protest, a peaceful protest, every week outside Green Lane Hospital. Gary used to go there every week on a Wednesday. And also there is a peaceful protest opposite the abortion mill in Dominion Road. That's opposite the Eden Quarter. So if you want to know more about that, get in touch with Family Life and they will be able to put you onto those sorts of things that are happening. Now, over the years, we've always used Miriam Tape Ministry, their tapes and CDs. And if you want to get in touch with them, Peter and Olga Cornwell, they have Miriam Tape Ministries. I'm sure you can find them online, but I'll make sure I have a phone number for next time. As I said, we usually do have their tapes, but at the moment we are just concentrating on Fatima. Also, don't forget to get in touch with all of the MPs to remind them that the report on euthanasia that they commissioned did not recommend that they pass euthanasia. Now, it's going to be a conscience vote, and you know what that means. It usually gets passed. So get on to your ministers and see what they can do to stop this horrible evil. So we're going to finish the program once again with that lovely song, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother.